We've been following this horrendous story of four people murdered inside a home in Markham yesterday afternoon.
He's 23-year-old Menhaz Zaman, 23 years old, from the city of Markham, now facing four charges of first-degree murder.
Latest update, we've confirmed the victims are his parents, his sister, and his grandmother. Postmortems are being done, then we'll learn how did they die. The accused also appeared inside a Newmarket courtroom today. As expected, the judge denied bail. He returns to court on Friday. That'll be through a video connection to his jailhouse, so he's not actually in court. The accused, meantime, may have posted messages about the murders online shortly after they happened. There are reports he posted on the game Perfect World about his depression, how he had recently dropped out of university. May have posted images of the murder scene. The conversation ends when he writes, "The police are here, goodbye," which would fall in line with what police had told us, that they found him at the front door when they first went into that home. He was there. Police have not confirmed these reports, though, at this time. This is just the sort of thing we see. The information starts to leak out, essentially, because police aren't saying a whole lot because they're still in the midst of this investigation. As I said, even the cause of death hasn't been confirmed.
Yeah, it's interesting that we get some details, and again, you know, take them all with a grain of salt, but it sounds like pretty concrete stuff to me when we talk about video games and some of the things that were being alluded to in the video game from this individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the guy's found at the door, his sister, his parents, and his grandmother is dead. It's not hard to connect the dots there, but now we get down to the whys. He speaks, if truthfully this is him, if that's factual, he speaks about depression, about dropping out of university. So it's just a situation where he'd had enough and decided to do the worst things imaginable. Well, maybe that's the case.
Yeah, and you think of his, you know, I can't help but to think of his family that are all likely in, you know, maybe in different rooms of the house thinking, oh, my kid's just there playing video games and nothing's wrong. You're going about your normal weekend routine and all of a sudden this goes on.
Yeah, we always talk about, imagine that, just the officers that have to walk through the house that first time, and then the individuals that deal with the murder scene, with the forensics, and then the individuals that have to, well, clear out the bodies. Just a long day for them.
Yeah, and just a beautiful family that didn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seeing those pictures now, it's hard.
It really is hard. The other story, a lot of people are, you know, it was the talk all weekend. It was the talk all last week. People talking
now
about.
You were away, so was this the out only about? Story, did people talk
yes,
about this?
The only story that anybody ever talked to me about was this story because people found it very compelling.
Yeah, it really is. And the funny thing is, it really hasn't been that long. I mean, we had the initial period, but I have it here at the end of my copy, but truthfully, it was only 6 days ago the RCMP said, these guys aren't missing, these guys are suspects. In 6 days, this is the attention it's received, and they still haven't been tracked down. The Mounties holding another news conference this afternoon to let us know they are searching another remote area in Manitoba for two teens, alleged killers, thought to be hiding out there.
The RCMP received a tip that two males matching the description of the wanted suspects were seen in York Landing, Manitoba.
That's a small community, about 500 people. It's really, this, as we've said, this is how remote it is. It's really only accessible by plane or boat. Apparently, it's a two-hour ferry to get to this location. Many RCMP resources helping with this search with an assist from the Air Force.
Our officers are on the ground, have not made contact with the individuals, and so we are not yet in a position to confirm that these are the wanted suspects.
Our sister station, CTV, is reporting the exhaustive search is complete. They were allegedly spotted at a dump there late yesterday afternoon. Members of an Indigenous neighborhood watch group say they saw the 18-year-old and the 19-year-old. But it appears they still haven't been found, so maybe it just wasn't them. Maybe it was a mistaken identity. They thought they saw something that wasn't there. Because if you ask me, when the Air Force is involved and you have all these resources for the RCMP, I'm going to imagine to some extent maybe heat signatures. They can track down infrared and whatnot. The technology available to our military, that if they were in that area,
they'd know,
that they would find them. But here we are. So the young man, they're charged in connection with the death of a man in BC. They're suspects in the murders of two other people that we've talked about. The individual from Australia, the other, she was from the U.S. They were visiting the country, found on the side of the road. They were murdered. They've been on the road run, as I said, for almost 2 weeks. That's how it began. Oh, they're missing. Where are they? And it was 6 days ago the RCMP said, no, these are our prime suspects.
You know, I find it intriguing for so many reasons. First of all, I always talk about Canada as a country that is a number of little countries that makes up one, because I think that is who we are in a way. We're different from the United States. We don't have as much unity and identity that is similar that Americans have.
Right? The melting pot.
We're not that melting
pot.
We
have an East Coast, West Coast versus Toronto mentality, basically.
And I think, a lot of people who talk to me kind of confessed, I don't have that much knowledge of what BC is like or what Saskatchewan is like or what Manitoba is like. And that's interesting to me because when you see the visuals of all of this, I think we all tend to forget. I'm not going to speak for everybody, but some of us tend to forget that this country is so massive.
It's so vast.
And I was watching a piece last night where they talked about some people who had been wanted for murder that were able to escape authorities for months because, and used, took advantage of our landscape because it is so vast and different. I think a lot of people who are interested in this story have pulled up maps over the last little while. Where is this place? Oh my God, it's that far away from Winnipeg? Like, because we think, okay, Winnipeg is still a pretty good distance. You'd have to drive pretty far north in Ontario. You get across the border. But this is far away.
Well, that's what surprised me as well, because when I was first going onto the map to check out Gillam,
yeah,
and I was checking the area, and I had to do some research, because in my idiocy, my naivety is that I thought there's roads everywhere. Of course, all these communities have roads to them and from them. And then you realize how many places are only accessible by water and by plane. And that's it. That's how you get in and you get out. And it talks about, I think the one Gillam only had a ferry comes in, or not a ferry, a tow boat. They're towing something. They're barge. They're bringing a barge in with supplies once a year.
Yep.
And you're right. It really is. It is vast. It is rough. It is unforgiving. But if they had the means with them, they knew what to do out in the outback, if they knew as far as tents, and they brought some of that material with them, because that's the confusion. I'm still not sure whether this was something I don't think anybody knows. Did they leave 2 weeks ago with the notion, we're going to go on, well, for lack of a better term, a killing spree? Or was this something that just happened haphazardly? Was the notion there from the get-go, and they knew they were going to be on the run?
Well, and I mean, you look at it, they've changed vehicles a number of times, at least the allegation goes. So how much stuff are they carrying with them? Are they taking all the things out, before they burn the vehicle? They were seen in a hardware store. How many supplies? I mean, the cops know all of this. Like, how much did they load up in supplies? Like, if you asked me what the end result of this story is going to be, these two are no longer with us.
See, that's what I'm hearing a lot in the newsroom.
Yeah. I mean, that's what my gut would tell me, that these two have not been able to survive, or they decided to end it at some point, which may, and I'm not an expert by any stretch, may render all that military equipment you talk about useless, because there might not be any heat to pick up anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the key right there, is the heat scan, right?
Yeah.
That's the big one.
Was it them yesterday, or was it someone else just mistaken identity? And you're right, maybe they've been dead for a week already, or maybe not. Maybe they're just hanging out in the woods waiting to be captured.
Because you've got animals, you've got all, I mean, geez.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. I mean, my hope, obviously, is that we find these guys.
Yeah,
alive.
Yeah, because you want answers.
Yeah, I want to know more about this story. Is
tourists? Why two friendly tourists from Australia and U.S. loving our national parks? Whatever would prompt those murders?
And this lovely professor who seems like salt of the earth, nice guy. Let's talk a little bit about the election.
Well, you guys just did this. Yeah. Essentially, you talked about it. I'm not sure what the consensus was, but the chief electoral officer recommending the
consensus
the federal
was
vote.
I was right, Dave.
You were right.
Always go with that.
Well, the chief electoral, this is the recommendation that the election should stay on October 21st. And now that doesn't sit well with the Jewish community because it's a Jewish holiday. So the court ordered the head of elections, electoral official, to take a second look at the decision and balance the infringement on the Charter of Rights of Affected Voters against the objectives of the election law. So he did. He took a second look, and he came back with the same result, saying it's not in the public interest to move voting day. But Cabinet, in the end, has the final say on this, and it is an election year, but it must make a decision by Thursday. So
what does that tone mean?
Well, we'll see how that impacts their decision. Okay. I mean, there's an aspect of, do you really want to take a core group of voters and say, essentially, your religious holiday doesn't matter to us?
So the cynic in me hears this story, and this is something we didn't touch on the roundtable, and maybe you disagree, Jay, Dave, but the cynic in me hears this and thinks, okay, Cabinet's going to have an opportunity to look at this. They're going to figure out how many of these people live in ridings that are winnable for them, and if there are enough people that make it winnable for them, they'll change the date.
That feels about right. That feels bang on.
Right?
I don't see cynic. I see logic. Realistic, logical.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've never been called those things.
I have no problem. Here's the thing. And it affects us, right? We work.
Sure it does.
We work that day. We work a long day. So as someone who doesn't just go vote and it's, that's it. Put it on whatever day you want. If they want to move it to, because it's a religious holiday, I really have no issue with that. We'll put it on whatever day you like. We'll still have to cover the election. We'll do the results for you. Listen to News Talk 1010.
We'll all be here.
Yeah, this idea that it has to be these rigid dates and on this time. And okay, so not the 21st. That's the latest possible day. well, let's go 3 days. For what day is that? Is it a Monday?
Apparently they have alternate dates, and I believe one of the other ones falls on a religious holiday as well, if you can believe it.
But why does it even have to be that? What is, do you know what the 21st is? Now I want to go to the
21st of October.
Yeah, so 21st, here it is. It's a Monday. So go back to the Thursday on the 17th of the Wednesday. Like, this idea that has, I don't know who came up with these rules years ago that it has to be these certain days. Like, somehow a Monday's the blessed election day. Do it on the Sunday. Everybody's off. No excuse. You can go vote.
I'm just looking to see when holidays fall. I think we're okay so far.
Yeah.
I'm looking. Yeah, it is. Oh, no, it is a bit of a religious holiday in Israel. It's questionable. It's World War II Victims Remembrance Day in Serbia. I don't think that affects us.
But there's a day for everything
now. Yeah, there really is. So that's the problem. But, I mean, with advanced polling, like, just how?
Yeah.
It's not that difficult.
No, vote in the advanced poll.
Like, I like being there on election day, but if it was something that ran counter to what I believe, I'd just go and vote on the day that they tell me to vote ahead of time. Kijiji.
Yes, so much fraud out there. We've all seen this. We've done many stories about it when it comes to ticket resales. Kijiji will no longer offer that option to sellers on its site. The eBay-owned company says it made the move to combat issues that digital tickets have created around authenticity. Kijiji says it has removed the option to sell tickets effective immediately, but listings that are already posted, they will remain until they expire, which is 60 days. Unless you remove them, you've sold them. Spokesperson with the company says there's always risks related to purchasing tickets from private sellers, and there's always just that emotional aspect to it as well. Maybe time is of essence. Time is running out. You make that decision you might not typically have made. So in other words, you want so badly to go to a K-pop concert that you skip due diligence when it comes to vetting the seller. And, you know, sometimes you're there. You're just like, I gotta grab it now. This is a great ticket. And then you find out it's just some scumbag and you get ripped off. Users will still be able to sell community event tickets, though, on Kijiji. But this is really more focusing on just all that fraud we see now with digital ticket sales.
Is that BTS, by the way? The
K-pop? It was BTS.
Awesome. Love them.
How do you even know that?
He knows these things. Guy's got his finger on the pulse. Does it have to do with fraud, or does it have to do with the parent company of Kijiji being eBay, and the parent company of StubHub being eBay, and them saying,
Well, I see them as two different entities. Can I see that a little bit? If I was Craigslist, I would come up with an ad tomorrow all over the internet saying, here's where you want to sell your tickets. This is where you're, because if somebody's going to, because StubHub has those extra costs, right? You're paying a percentage.
But then if you're Craigslist, you look like you're supporting a business that's kind of gone sideways.
They got to come up with a way.
Business.
There's got to be a way. I don't know.
Just use technology and make it so that you have to show ID at the door or something. I don't know.
I use StubHub at the end of the day, and I know that at least it's verified and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And at least for purchasing, I never sell. All the sellers are crooks, anyways.
Have you ever been burned by tickets?
No, because you know me. I buy things that are legitimate through the legitimate site.
Yeah.
Or I don't buy them. For example, OVO. I wanted tickets. I went on Ticketmaster. I waited my turn. Got shut out. And that was it. Like, I'm not going looking for secondary, third-hand tickets.
Great story.
Which one? That was it.
Your OVO experience. I went online. I got shut out. I didn't get any tickets.
But that's why. But see, this is the thing. Because I make the assumption that everybody else is out to rip me off.
Sure. You have to.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's how I live.
Everything in life now. Someone is behind the curtain waiting to try to take advantage of you.
Right. So I'm just not. Okay. I guess I'm out. If that's the case. Then my bank actually sent me one of those codes. Apparently they held back some tickets.
Right.
Said, here you go. It's an opportunity for you as a client. Excellent. Got the code, punched it in. Tickets were $475 a piece. Yeah, I'm done. I'm good. Back out again. Thank
you. It's really interesting when you do jump through all those hoops, by the way, and you see the ticket price and you go, I guess I didn't want to go that bad after all.
No, not worth my time or money in that situation. Dave McKee has more with his views on the news. A lot of great stuff here, Dave.
Hope your Zach Brown story's better. Because you got tickets to that show.
I did. More with Dave McKee in moments as The Rush continues.
6:15.
Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here, who my co-host ranks as a better storyteller than me, apparently.
Nice.
You are very good.
Let's talk
about... What's the movie coming out about your ticket buying experience,
by the way?
It's going
to be a miniseries, six-parter. Matt Damon will play me. What's going on with Rage?
Yeah, what's wrong with our world? Three people knifed over what? Somebody parked where they shouldn't? Ooh, did they follow too closely? Did they cut you off? Well, of course, a road rage incident early this morning in Toronto led to a triple stabbing. Happened west of King and Dufferin, about 1:30. People in two vehicles, they get into an argument, and then there's the fight. And then two men stabbed three occupants of the other vehicle. One of them life-threatening injuries, another serious injuries. Suspect vehicle, the only thing we have at this point, described as a silver Honda Civic. So hopefully they get these guys. They just, it's so, these things are so...
So pointless.
And I've been there. Like we talked about it last week. I have many road rage experiences. I've been there. But even when you yell at someone sometimes, you get about 2 minutes later and you're up the street and you think, this was stupid.
What was I doing?
Yeah, like, what is wrong with me? Doesn't stop you from getting back there because that's just who I am. But, you know,
yeah, I wouldn't want to tick you off. I've seen you mad. Don't want to see that again. Let's talk a little bit about one of our neighbors here.
Yeah, Friendly Stranger. So it's about time. So for a quarter century, Friendly Stranger, if you smoke weed, you know about the Friendly Stranger, Queen Street. It's been part of the cannabis culture, as I said, 25 years. Company announcing today it's finally going to apply for a cannabis retail license. Apparently, it's received investments totaling $5 million from several strategic partners. Rich weed smokers. Says the money will be spent on an aggressive growth strategy, including opening additional, they call them marijuana accessory stores, but it's also going to launch premium cannabis retail locations across the country. Remember when they announced the legalization, I was in there and I said, are you guys happy? They're like, we're very happy. Of course, this is fantastic news. I'm surprised it's taken this long.
I guarantee you some of what nudged them into this is looking out the front window and seeing the company across the street that opened.
With the lineups around around the corner.
You were eating our lunch. Yes. We'll eat our lunch no more, says the Friendly Stranger.
I went into my first place on Friday, a Nova, I think it's called. It's on Queen Street.
Okay.
I'd never been in a cannabis store, went in there. It was a license to print money. You've never seen such a constant flow of, because they have to check your ID. So it's just that I tried to have a conversation with a guy at the front door. There was no time because he's just checking ID. People in, boom, order, up at the desk, out the door. It was.
And they want to move you along quickly.
Oh, they really do. They really do, but they're making some money.
What was that experience like? Did like somebody come out and greet you?
No, see, I needed help, and the problem is they're so busy. There was only two there.
That was before you got in the store.
Yeah, exactly. And that was good after, though. It was a little packed in, but it wasn't like you guys have spoken about this place over here. I could actually go right in and order what I
and
had.
And you could ask questions. And
yeah.
They were knowledgeable?
They were, actually very helpful. Very helpful.
Interesting. This kind of falls right in the same vein.
Juul. So e-cigarette maker Juul. It's very popular in North America. Well, it's opened its first retail store, and it's opened it here in Toronto. The Juul store in the West End marks the California-based company's first brick-and-mortar location in North America. Apparently, you have to show ID at the store. They stress that. Everybody has to prove that they're 19 before they can pass through and see what's inside. Those who gain entry will find devices and cartridges. Apparently, you see a lot of this now. It looks like an Apple store. I think even you've said the cannabis stores quite often look like Apple stores
now.
Yeah,
the provincial one on the East Coast does.
Yes.
Looks a lot like an Apple store.
The cornerstone on sort of that design, that style. So GM says this, or the GM there says the store was designed to be an educational venue for adult smokers. Now, critics say the company's at risk of creating a new generation of nicotine addicts in light of recent research suggesting the prevalence of teenage vaping has nearly doubled. Juul has captured almost an 80% share of the vape market in this country. It says its products are available at more than 13,000 vape shops, convenience stores across the country, or you can just order it online, Grandpa, like everybody else does.
Am I the only one that keeps thinking of an American singer-songwriter every time somebody names the company?
Who will save your soul?
Who will save my soul? They will, clearly.
Juul will.
That should be their song.
She used to be a yodeler. Did you know that?
Still a yodeler.
Is she still a yodeler?
You never lose that. You never lose that.
Once you go yodel,
you yodel.
You yodel for life.
You yodel for life.
Too many jokes.
It's Yola. The truth, though.
Because you're a YOLO yodeler.
You guys know more about these Juul things than I do.
Sure.
I've never used them, but I remember reading articles about just how they, kids in high school, that just made it really easy for them. Apparently, the real key is some proprietary system they have where when taking the vape, you never really get an itchy throat. You never burn your throat. And that's
popcorn lung.
Yeah, it goes in very smooth, and that's where the kids go, oh, this is great. This is probably not bad for me because it doesn't even burn.
But isn't the whole problem with the retailer? If you're a retailer that's selling to someone underage, aren't you the problem? Because it's a legal product and it's being sold legally. If you just sell it wrong, much like people checking IDs at the door, well, then shut those people down. And if Juul's, and the data's not conclusive yet, but Juul sure is nicotine and habit forming, but it doesn't have the 75 other chemical compounds that a cigarette has in it. So essentially, it's better. So if you're going to be imbibing in that way, shape, or form, you're probably better to do it that way.
Yeah, I like it.
It's fair.
Yeah.
And now that we've exhausted marijuana and smoking stories.
No, don't go. Let's skip. You want to skip forward? We don't have much time left. Do you want to do the billboard one?
Sure, if you want to.
Yes, yes, we got to get that one in.
All right.
Okay, here we go. You know, it's, well, how do you pronounce this?
Lil Nas X.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse through the old town road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
Well, that guy that Ryan just said, he's broken a record that's more than two decades old. Billboard, 23 years this record stood. Billboard announced today Old Town Road remains atop the Billboard Hot 100 for a 17th consecutive week. It breaks the record held by Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men back in 96. Mm. That was for One Sweet Day.
Great
and then
tune.
It was actually tied not too long ago, 2017, for Despacito.
Despacito.
So the first I ever saw this song was actually an amazing video. I'm sure you guys have seen it, where it was in a school and he had surprised kids at a public school.
Wait a minute. We've been playing this song for months even before that video came out.
We
helped discover this.
Because he got disqualified from the Billboard charts because they said the song didn't comply with all of the rules for country music radio. So the guy that you just played said,
Billy
okay,
Ray.
Record it with me. And I'll make it country. Great career move on Billy Ray Cyrus.
Absolutely.
He actually did Glastonbury with Lil Nas X and his daughter, Miley Cyrus. And she was headlining. She brought them out to do that song live.
That's cool.
It's a cool story.
They've done like Korean pop, K-pop version of it as well.
Yeah.
In the last little while. We knew a long time ago, Dave.
I didn't know. I saw Clearly, these kids bounce. It was amazing to see these kids bouncing around singing it.
I just hope Lil Nas X doesn't go the Chumbawamba route. And I hope his next couple of tracks are great and the album's great.
Probably
well, if he does get knocked down, though, he can get back.
He can.
Oh, God. I got to go.
I want to know how grilled cheese is going to kill me. And you just scratched that story completely. So we'll have to find out maybe tomorrow.
I'll bring it back. Old people choking on grilled cheese. That's it. So if you're old, don't eat grilled cheese.
Fair enough. Dave McKee with the facts.
Thanks, Dave.
And his views on the news as we continue right here on The Rush.
Grilled cheese, also something Tim Hortons does. And is it time for that to stop? Ryan thinks so. We'll talk about that and more when we come back.